Deutsche Welle, Africa Link.
Hello and welcome to DW's Africa Link program. This Wednesday, the 14th of June 2017. I'm Isaac Mugabe, your host.
With me, Wanjiko Mwaura, on the social media.
Coming up on the program, opposition lawmakers in Zambia vow to challenge their suspension in court for boycotting a speech by President Edgar Lungu. But will they get justice? We hear from an analyst.
It would be a surprise if at all they will get it, because our court really cannot be relied upon.
Local residents and politicians have raised concerns over fire safety after at least six people died and dozens were injured in a massive blaze at a 24-story tower block in West London. Our own correspondent is on the ground.
What's amazing for me to see being here on the scene is that people are really coming out and helping each other. People are carrying bags with food, with clothing.
Also on the program, Congolese ex-rebel commander Bosco Ntaganda appears before the International Criminal Court in The Hague.
And of course, on social media, Facebook page DW Africa, remember you can leave your comments and Isaac and I will be reading some of them during the show.
That's right indeed, Wanjiko. But before all that, here's another chance for you to hear about what's been taking place around the world.
I'm Christina Kripal with the DW News. Former Congolese rebel leader Bosco Ntaganda today testified on his own behalf at the International Criminal Court in The Hague. Prosecutors accused the 43-year-old militia leader, known as the Terminator, of ordering and participating in crimes against humanity between 2002 and 2003 in the Democratic Republic of Congo, including the massacre of hundreds of villages, recruitment of child soldiers, and rape of women in the accusation. Ntaganda has denied all charges allegedly committed by his patriotic forces for the liberation of Congo. Congolese human rights activist Maxi Xavier from Bunia, when Ntaganda's militia allegedly perpetrated massacres, told DW.
Oui, en fait, en tant que défenseur des droits humains, je peux dire que c'est un procès qui donne un signal fort.
What I can tell you is that this is a very important process for the people of Ituri who are victims of Ntaganda's crimes. The community wishes for a fair and impartial judicial process and that he be made responsible for his actions.
The United Nations has documented dozens of cases of serious child abuse, including rape and kidnap in 5 days of violence by Congolese militias in the country's center. The UN's mission in the Congo MONUSCO said Wednesday. The central Kasai region has been rocked by a violent tribal uprising since last September. The UN has repeatedly deplored the abuse of children's rights in the Congo, particularly in the East, which has suffered more than 20 years of armed conflict. The leader of Nigeria's Senate, Bukola Saraki, was cleared of corruption charges today, ending one of the most high-profile trials in President Muhammadu Buhari's anti-graft campaign. Saraki was accused of making a false declaration of his assets before and after his tenure as governor of Kwara State and of collecting double salaries during his time as governor of the Western State and as a senator after he stepped down. The third most powerful man in the state last year was acquitted in a separate case of conspiracy and forgery. This news comes to you from DW in Bonn, Germany. British Prime Minister Theresa May faced further delays in forming her new government on Wednesday due to a deadly tower block blaze in the capital, London. Six people are reported to have died and many injured in a fire of a scale described as unprecedented by Danny Cotton, Commissioner of London Fire Brigade.
In my 29 years in the London Fire Brigade, I have never seen a fire of this nature, and I have seen many high-rise fires. This will, of course, be subject to a major investigation, but at this moment in time, we do not wish to speculate further about the cause of the fire or the fire spread.
A top U.S. House Republican, Steve Scalise of Louisiana, was shot by a rifle-wielding gunman Wednesday at the congressional baseball practice just outside of Washington. Capitol Police said officers who were part of Scalise's security detail returned fire and wounded the shooter, who was taken into custody. Five people were taken to hospital after the shooting. For more news and information, download the DW app from the Google Play Store or from iTunes. I'm Christina Kripal.
Welcome once again to the program. My name is Isaac Mugabe.
With me, Wanjiko Mwaura.
We begin the program today in Zambia, where opposition lawmakers say they will now challenge the Speaker of Parliament in court for suspending them for missing out on President Edgar Lungu's speech way back in March. Zambia's parliament suspended the 48 opposition lawmakers this week after it accused them of boycotting a speech by the president, widening a political rift that has alarmed rights groups. Africa Link's Crispy McDo talked to McDonald Chipenzi, a Zambian political analyst. Chipenzi says, although there's no law stating it's compulsory for MPs to attend the president's speech, chances of the opposition MPs overturning the speaker's ruling are very slim. Let's listen.
Oh, it's extremely dicey in this country right now because the confidence levels in the judiciary is also very low. People had a lot of confidence when the presidential petition was presented before the Constitutional Court. But the result of it was very, very disappointing and frustrating to so many people. It would be a surprise if at all they would get it because our courts really cannot be relied upon.
Now, speaking on the courts again, UPND leader himself, Hakainde Hichilema, is fighting his treason detention at the High Court as well as the Constitutional Court. What more can you tell us about this legal process? And if there's so little confidence in the judicial system, then does he even have a chance?
It is a dice, a very dice situation, because right now in Zambia, if you get a good ruling, it's a very big surprise to everybody because everyone is looking at injustice being meted by the judiciary. The majority of them are compromised. The reasons being that the appointment of judges are basically made through the consultation with the party. So even the judiciary, you don't rule out having members of the party being appointed. And that is what has compromised the judiciary.
Zambia's President Edgar Lungu himself has remained largely silent over Hichilema's case. Do you think that is because he was once a lawyer or is he just playing politics?
No, I think he's involved. He's, treason cases are basically, issues that concern the president. It's more or less like taking over power from him. He is part and parcel of this this prosecution of his opponent.
Zambia was once seen as one of Africa's democratic beacons. How is this case, the Hakainde Hichilema case, impacting on that standing?
So this basically has shown that good governance in Zambia is far-fetched. Democracy is no longer safe in Zambia and no longer being practiced. The constitutionalism principle is no longer respected. The rule of law is no longer respected. Yes. So QR shows that the separation of power has also broken down. So this whole case has really exposed us, and I think is that we have a broken institutions of governance. We have a broken record in terms of rule of law and also respect for the constitution.
McDonald Chipenzi, a Zambian political analyst, speaking to Africa Link's Crispin Mwakideu. So, Wanjiko, what are people saying about this particular story?
Well, Obote Mainza says the suspension of opposition MPs is an assault on Zambia's democracy. All they want is to remain alone in parliament and officially endorse their policies. But what they're forgetting is that parliamentary committees are chaired by the opposition, meaning no normal business in parliament.
And Banda Sostien says the speaker suspended them according to what he said.
Karan Ashok asks, who cursed Africa? Now, in case you're wondering where we're getting these comments, go over to our Facebook page, DW Africa, and contribute to the conversations on the page.
And we'll always read them whenever we can. Now, at least 6 people have died after a huge fire raged through the night at a West London tower block, and police expect that the number could rise. Eyewitnesses describe people trapped in the burning Grenfell Tower in North Kensington, screaming for help and yelling for their children to be saved. DW's correspondent in London, Bridget Maas, is on the ground and has been telling more on the incident to our colleague in Berlin, Terry Martin.
Well, from what we know,
there's no update on the number of those who are dead and injured. From what we know, it's 6 people killed and over 70, I believe 74 people in hospitals, and about 20 of them in critical condition. What's amazing for me to see being here on the scene is that people are really coming out and helping each other. People are carrying bags with food, with clothing. People are offering their neighbors shelter. A lady's trying to get her, you know, her neighbors to come in and say, have a rest and give you some water. So it's really this community spirit that's once again shown to be in strong force in London, really.
Birgit, do we know if anyone is still left inside that building? Have rescue workers been able to get through the whole building at this point?
That we are not sure about. I mean, we've had earlier, it's been reported that it would be very unlikely if somebody was still alive who's at this point in time trapped in the building. It seems the evacuation is over. I mean, it was happening in the middle of the night, so over 12 hours ago, and firefighters were on the scene pretty quickly. I have spoken to one lady who told about her friend who was trapped in the building in her own flat with her young daughter for 3 hours. So conflicting advice to the residents. Officially, they were supposed to wait in their buildings, but several did not adhere to this advice and they ran out, and seemingly they saved their lives.
Now, this fire broke out shortly after midnight local time there. Give us an idea of how many people might have been inside the building and how many have been brought out.
Well, it's estimated that about 400 to 600 people live in this building, and the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, has appealed to people if they are accounted for, if they lived in the building but they are safe, that they should report themselves to the authorities so that it's known how many people are still unaccounted for, because at this point in time we don't have an estimate and it's still an ongoing situation, and people are, the fire services, the police, the council are still monitoring the situation.
Many thanks to our correspondent in London, Birgit Maas, and of course to Terry Martin for updating us on that story. So, Wanjiko, what are people saying about this tragedy, if I should say?
A lot of messages of condolence streaming in. One from Zubairu Ahmed Jika from Adamawa State in Nigeria says, at this time, London is passing through a period of disaster. We will continue to pray for you. May this be the last tragedy in England and the Europe at large.
And Lamini Fofana in Montreal, Canada says, my condolences and sympathy to the families of the dead and the wounded. Congolese ex-rebel commander Bosco Ntaganda appeared before the International Criminal Court in The Hague to fend off accusations of using child soldiers and capturing sex slaves for his rebel army. Almost 2 years after the trial opened, the man once dubbed the Terminator took the stand to recall events in 2002 to 2003 when his rebel forces rampaged through the vast Congo's Ituri province, murdering and raping civilians and plundering their possessions. This report by Zipporah Nyambura begins with accused Bosco Ntaganda testifying.
I thought I mentioned, but that's the person involved with discipline. It's good in that I mentioned that in the military, my main task was discipline.
Bosco Ntaganda talking about his role of disciplining in the military. He has so far denied charges of war crimes and 5 counts of crimes against humanity committed by his Patriotic Forces for the Liberation of Congo, FPLC. The Hema group, according to prosecutors, targeted the Lendu and other non-Hema groups. Fighting in Ituri left some 60,000 dead since 1999, according to right groups, in a conflict exacerbated by the wealth of regional resources, including gold and other minerals used in electronic products. Ntaganda has been charged with ordering hundreds of deaths through savage ethnic attacks by the FPLC, which was then the armed wing of the Union of Congolese Patriots.
Zipporah Nyambura with that report. The trial continues tomorrow, and keep those comments flowing. We'll keep read them whenever we can. So, Wanjiko, you're burning, tell me something. What's that?
Absolutely. People are still commenting on the Zambia report that we just ran. Owati Whitson says, you cannot put a good man down. They will not succeed with their evil plans.
Well, you should keep those comments flowing about Zambia, about the DRC, about Ntaganda, and all the stories that we have on our page. And of course, my colleague with me in the studios, Wanjiko Mwaura, and I, we read them whenever we can. And in case you've just tuned in, you're listening to DW's Africa Link program straight from our studios here in Bonn, Germany. My name is Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Wanjiko Mwaura on the social media desk.
Now, women on the Kenyan coast are taking advantage of the scorching heat to produce solar energy.
Solar box is very helpful. All you need is to direct the solar box towards the sunlight so that the light reflection will enter inside the box.
And to bring you up to speed, our top story, Zambia's parliament has suspended 48 opposition politicians, and people are talking about it on our Facebook page, DW Africa. So go over there, write your comments, and Isaac and I will be reading them.
Right, indeed. But before all that, to Ghana for some reactions after Germany announced a 100 million euro package in support of the country's economic growth. It is part of Germany's Economic Compact Program for Africa. DW's Isaac Kalichi in Accra says many Ghanaians hope this support from Germany will bring a positive impact into their lives.
Ghana's new government has signaled its resolve to fix the country's economy since taking over in January, but the country has little funds to do this. The latest support from Germany as part of a compact the European giant has signed should therefore play a critical role. Ghana's finance minister Ken Oforiatta says the country was selected because of its economic policies and prospects.
So this compact program that we had, that the Germans had of Africa, there were five countries before we came, who were Senegal, Cote d'Ivoire, Morocco and Tunisia, and Rwanda. We were nowhere near it. Of the work that we all have been helping, the Germans decided that, you know, why don't we get Ghana involved in that? And that's how we have qualified.
Already, the money from the German government is being invested in the training of young people in vocational and technical sectors. This will help in equipping many of the jobless youth with employable skills. Government of Ghana cannot afford not to utilize the funds properly after the president promised to fight corruption and promote the private sector. Business analyst Fred Jakpata says the support should significantly help Ghana in fixing some of its economic challenges.
To receive 100 million euros from Germany, you can build a relationship with Germany in terms of capacity building, helping you build the technical expertise of your workforce to even export and earn money from it. That is a strategic partnership you can forge with Germany.
Jakpata cautions that if Ghana mismanages the fund, it will be challenging for it to eventually take charge of its own development without foreign aid in the coming years. On the streets of Accra, there are conversations about the latest help. Ghanaians share their thoughts on which other areas they want the money invested in.
The railway sector has gone down, and I think that if we revive it, it's going to create a lot of employment, especially if we extend it to the north. I know it's going to yield very positive results if we look at the railway sector.
This money must invest in energy because we need stable energy sector to everyone have access to use it whatever that you wanted to use it to do.
If they invest the money in agriculture, the youth will be interested in going there and they will get jobs as well, and food will come. And once we can get food to eat and become sufficient, I think people will remember and people won't talk much.
It's been 60 years since Germany and Ghana developed diplomatic relations. Germany has carried out major projects through its development agencies over this period. This latest Africa Compact should take the cooperation between the two countries to the next level. At least, that's the hope of many.
Isaac Kalechi reporting from Accra. Wanjiko, more money, more comments, more talking. What are people saying?
Absolutely. Carter says, instead of corrupt leaders giving away our land to foreigners, use our natural resources to create jobs in a sustainable way. And if we can demonstrate that corruption will not be tolerated, I believe this will help us focus on development rather than scandals.
And in case you are from Ghana and you have ideas of how the 100 million euros that Germany gave to Ghana, just go onto our page and leave your comment there with suggestions of how the government should put into good use that money. Isn't it, Wanjiko?
Absolutely. Please do keep your comments flowing.
On the spot.
Now, among the challenges foreigners faced here in Germany in order for them to properly integrate are language barrier, culture and religion, or stereotypes of what their German neighbors think of them depending on where they come from. For instance, if you're an Italian, some may think that you can only be good at cooking. And if you're from Brazil, perhaps you could be mistaken to be another Pele, Ronaldinho, in other words, a good soccer player, although you may not have any idea of how to kick the ball. It is against that background that Yinka Kehinde, a German of Nigerian descent, started a project aimed at bringing together people of different backgrounds living in Germany. Yinka's plan is to encourage the culture of tolerance in the city of Cologne through music. Her choir is composed of foreigners from different backgrounds and their German hosts. Africa Link's Fred Muvunyi attended one of her choir rehearsals and filed this report.
It's 7 o'clock in the evening. Dozens of people with different origins are singing to one harmony. Among them is Yinka Kehinde. Kehinde founded this choir as part of her project, Interaction, which has the aim of bridging the gap between Germans and people who live here from around the world.
Interaction is a non-profit association which aims at bringing together people from different backgrounds. We develop and organize and then initiate different projects that have to do with intercultural topics or to bring together people regardless of age, ethnicity, skin color, religious backgrounds.
The choir is called Zusammen singen, a word in German which means singing together. The group rehearses every Monday in Cologne, Germany's fourth largest city. Musical harmonies mixed with traditional African drums in the song Malembe Toka Tambula. The song title comes from the Congolese Lingala language, which means we are slowly marching on. There's no Congolese national in attendance this evening, but the choir sings the Lingala words with confidence. Kehinde explains that connection and interaction is what it is all about.
It connects us to the countries. It also helps to connect all of us. Because now we started maybe with an African song and the next song would be a French song. Then after that we sing another, an Arabic song. So, and with all songs there's a special feeling that comes of that.
The majority of the choir members are migrants and refugees. Rashid Osus came to Germany from Morocco 6 years ago. The team members helped him to integrate, he says.
It was really helpful for me. It was really useful because it was the first opportunity for me in Germany to be with German people, to learn the German words, to learn German cultures, to be German.
Living in Germany as a foreigner in the first few months can be a struggle in itself, especially if you come from Africa. Understanding the German culture and learning the language needs patience and courage. It also takes time to make German friends, Kehinde says.
If you come to Germany as a foreigner, it's good to find places, like open spaces where you can meet people. For example, that can be in a sports club, it can be a choir, like our choir.
Kehinde's project gets some of its funding from the Robert Bosch Stiftung, a German charitable institution. With the funding, the choir can pay for the music rehearsal room and the professional choir conductor. Kehinde's dreams go beyond just rehearsals, though. Her choir is organizing a mega concert in July, and later they will hold musical workshops too, in order to keep pushing the message of integration and interaction.
That report was by Fred Muvunyi.
Isaac, what was your first time coming to Germany and how did you integrate?
Well, as you heard in that report, I believe in going to places, open spaces and engaging in sports. So where I can meet people other than staying in my own room.
Absolutely. And music is a universal language.
And I like it.
Absolutely.
Living Planet Africa.
Now, the coastal region of Kenya is famously known for its sandy beaches and humid temperatures caused by warm and the scorching sun. And because of the beautiful beaches, many tourists flock Kenya's coast to sunbathe and enjoy the cool breeze from the Indian Ocean. The rural women living along the coast have better use for the sun other than the sunbathing. They make solar boxes for cooking purposes from that sun. The boxes are made of glass, while the inside is painted black to tap sun rays, which provide the necessary heat for cooking. More from that story is Diana Wanyonyi in Mombasa.
In rural Kilifi, the locals are counting the benefits of baking without using electricity or charcoal. They are part of Musumarini Women Group, formed in 2013 with sponsorship from Germany. Not only have the solar boxes become an alternative source of cooking, but also empowered women financially. They are now running a thriving bakery by selling their cakes. Constance Charo is a member of the group. She says her family has fully embraced its use. My children are used to this solar box. They complain if I tell them to cook with firewood, as they say it emits a lot of smoke. Solar cooker is also clean energy, and also it enables my children to do other chores as long as they know the time of removing the food from the box. Next to the Msumarini Women Group office in Kikambala is Mrs. Momo Abdul House, a mother of four children and a member of the group whom I found sweeping her small compound. She explains how they use the solar boxes. Solar box is very helpful. All you need is to direct the solar box towards the sunlight so that the light reflection will enter inside the box. When the air inside the box is hot, that is when you can put your raw food inside the pan and cover the pan with the lid. The food is cooked after 2 hours. Japheth Chirume, an officer in charge of the program, says the solar box is able to bake 50 cupcakes at once. They are then sold at 10 Kenyan shillings, equivalent to 10 cents in a dollar.
We managed to make 4 solar jikos and we gave to 3 groups of women. We trained them for a week and we gave them those boxes for 6 months so that they can continue to train themselves and know how it works. The solar box is made of timber, 2 transparent glasses, black foil that is used to absorb rays, and some cotton that are put between 2 timbers that act as insulator. When the rays are sent inside the box by the reflector, the cooker starts absorbing the heat.
In absorb heat in the cooker.
But the solar box has got one setback, as Constance Charo explains. When there is no sunshine, or when it's cloudy or rainy, you cannot cook with the solar box. Kilifi is ranked as one of the most hit regions by poverty and income inequality in Kenya, following a survey done by the Kenya National Bureau of Statistics in 2015. So, for many of these women, the simple wooden box has become a source of livelihood, empowerment, transforming families.
That report was by Diana Wanyonyi in Mombasa. And just breaking news right now, the latest on the London fire is that the death toll has risen to 12 and that the figure is expected to rise. And as promised, more comments from our Zambia story, where the lawmakers promised or vowed to take the case to court.
Well, people have been engaging on this topic. David Mokose says, this is exactly the nature of so-called democracy in Africa, rare for sitting presidents to lose an election, and opposition members are viewed by the rulers as enemies.
And Dennis Wako says, Africans should learn how to behave after looking and instead use that time to organize themselves rather than disorganizing the winning side. Interesting.
Very interesting comments here. Didas from Rwanda says the political crisis has been an incurable disease in Africa. Those opposition leaders should have shown their position, but sadly they're going to lose their bread.
And keep them flowing. Just to remind you, a top story, opposition lawmakers, as you had in those comments, have vowed to challenge their suspension in court for boycotting a speech by taking the speaker to the court itself. And with that, we come to the end of this edition. On behalf of my colleagues in the studios, I'm Isaac Mugabe.
And I'm Onjiko Mwaura.
Goodbye for now.